Well, kids, you got one more report card yet to come. Hopefully, you're looking forward to it. If you're an employee, you have annual performance review. Hopefully, you're looking forward to that. Spouses, if you've been working through some kind of workbook / Bible study as a couple, when it comes time for your review, I hope you're looking forward to it. There's something to be said about a positive progress report that makes one feel a whole lot better than when it's not. Within the book of Acts, Luke gives us various progress reports. And with all of them, he's talking about how that this new business of God, Christianity, which is contained within the church, the body of Christ, is rapidly expanding. The progress reports are all positive. The progress reports indicate growth is assumed. And these progress reports are always open-ended. Let's take a look at these progress reports as we come to the book of Acts today. Let us look first at progress described. Acts 2:41. For those of you who have your Bible with you, please turn. For those who don't, you may find one there in the pew rack in front of you. Book of Acts, fifth book of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. And so Acts chapter 2. And first, let us take a look there at verse 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Drop on over to verse 47, the last sentence there. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Turn a few pages over to Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. There's more we'll look at here in a moment, but what we can say is that there's quite impressive reports. Luke was placing these progress reports in strategic places at the very initiation of the church on Pentecost, as it had influenced Jerusalem, as it had spread through all of Judea, Samaria, and Galilee, as it went unto the Gentiles. And even as it went to Rome. We can see that these progress reports are somewhat following the theme of the book of Acts. Back in chapter 1, verse 8, in which we see that Luke is describing that Jesus is saying, you will be witnesses unto me, when power has come upon you, unto Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, this is the outline for the book. This is following that theme. And at each stage, Luke is giving us a progress report. Now, within this, then, we know in chapter 8, in verse 1, it talks about how that following the stoning of Stephen, that the church was scattered out from Jerusalem into all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. And within this scattering, that the church thrived. again in chapter 12, verses 24 and 25, that there was pressure upon the church. And as there was pressure upon the church, it expanded. So we know that as we're looking at these reports, all of them are positive. The church continued to grow and even thrive despite pressure. Number two, growth is assumed. All of us have grown up with the idea that assuming is a bad thing. That's something you don't want to do because you can get in trouble with it. And yet as we look at the church, which has been ordained by God, it is the will of God that the witness of the truth about Jesus Christ is going to go into all of the world. And for that reason, the plan of God, the will of God, cannot be thwarted. Therefore, the success of the church, the body of Christ, can be assumed. We will assume growth in the church because this is the will of God, and nothing will stand against it. Now, of course, we can see that in terms of the growth assumed, there were 3,000, we read in Acts 2:41, 3,000 that came to the Lord on the first day of the church's existence. That's a fairly significant start. That very day was fulfilled, the promise of Jesus, that the disciples would do even greater things than he did when he was here. Here's your confirmation. And so it started off with quite a bang. In chapter 6 and verse 7, the word of God spread, and the number of believers rapidly increased, and a large number of priests came to faith. Now, if you're a priest and you're living under the authority of the Sanhedrin, you're living under the authority of the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the chief priest, there's a lot at stake for you to follow Jesus. And we can see that before the church was scattered away from Jerusalem, many of the priests who had fallen in line with the Jewish leadership recognized the truth about Jesus, and though it would cost them everything, responded to it accordingly. Moving on, we can see that in chapter 9 and verse 31, let's go ahead and turn over there real quick, chapter 9, verse 31. You guys are going to get your fingers to work out today. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. Again, growth assumed. It grew in numbers. Chapter 12 and verse 24, as we've already alluded to, continued to grow and increase and spread. And of course, if it's spreading, it isn't spreading like some kind of wind. It's spreading because people are believing in Jesus. That is how it spreads. And so we know that new believers were being added. Over in chapter 16 and verse 5, go ahead and join with me there. Chapter 16, verse 5. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. They were strengthened in their faith, and almost as an assumed tagline, and they increased in numbers. Along in chapter 19, in verse 20, the word of the Lord spread and grew more powerful. Now, growth in the church is always assumed to be qualitative growth. Here for a moment, I'm going to be describing the difference between qualitative and quantitative. Qualitative growth is that that is increasing in the quality of the spiritual life. Quantitative is an increase in numbers of people there. So within the quality of the spiritual life, when it's talking about the church growing, when it's talking about the church increasing in strength, in power, this is talking about qualitative growth. This is the quality of spiritual life that people are enjoying. The Bible always refers to faith in the Christian life is ever to be an upward slant in which we are growing and increasing in our knowledge, in our understanding of God, in our fellowship with God, and within our ability of knowing that we're on the right track. That we're doing things according to God the way He wants them done. We're looking more like Him all the time. So as we're looking at this accumulation of growth, it's qualitative. And yet, attached to it, is the assumption, is the natural outworking, is the expected result that qualitative growth always results in quantitative growth. Church growth is never about the numbers. It's about us realizing the resources we have in God and growing in that so that we become more like Christ all the time. But it is a foregone conclusion. It is the assumption of God Himself that qualitative growth always results in quantitative growth. And of course, here we're speaking of the body of Christ, the church universal. It's important for us to keep in mind. Unfortunately, in the United States of America, we've got thousands of churches. And one church will grow for a while, and another church will grow for a while, and it seems like for the most part, there's a net gain of zero. We're just seeing people go from one place to another. We aren't changing the numbers in terms of quantitative growth. As I've already established, the focus is never to be upon quantitative growth. It's about qualitative growth. However, within the Spirit of God, within the plan of God, within the will of God, qualitative growth assumes the product of quantitative growth. So we see that this growth is assumed. Both qualitative and quantitative. It is the will of God that they added daily to their number those that were being saved. Number three, it's open-ended. Let's turn to the back of the book here, chapter 28, and read verses 30 and 31. You guys didn't know you could cover a whole book this quickly. Oh, the surprises that can be wrought our way. Chapter 28, beginning at verse 30. For two whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke, we are told in 2 Timothy, I want to say 4:11. Hold on, let me check. I don't want to. Yes. 2 Timothy 4:11. It states that Luke was with Paul till the end of his life. Within the book of Acts, Paul dominates the book. From his conversion in chapter 9 all the way through his missionary trips, the life of Paul is there. Peter and the other 11 make appearances. But you don't see much about him. It's all about Paul. So why didn't Luke, who was with Paul, carry his story on to the end? Because Luke wasn't writing about Paul. Luke wasn't writing about Peter and the other 11. It wasn't their story he was talking about. Quickly, flip to the beginning of the book. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. You can see where Luke is describing his gospel. In my former book, my beloved Theophilus, I wrote to you about all that Jesus has begun to do and teach. The assumption, as long as we're assuming here today, is that if the gospel is telling Theophilus about all that Jesus began to do and teach, then Acts is going to be telling us what Jesus continues to do and teach. That what he started, he is continuing. And he comes to the end of Acts chapter 28, and he's concluding the record that is being given in Scripture of the institution of the early church and how it thrived. But it's open-ended. Why? Because Jesus still has disciples in the world. And Jesus is going to, just like he started, continue to do and to teach through his disciples. So within the progress report, it's no wonder that the book doesn't have a firm conclusion, but it's open-ended. There are still people to be reached. There are still people to be built up in their faith. So the progress report to be given by the will of God as we continue to go forward through the church age will not be thwarted. As we come to the end of Acts chapter 28, we have the end of what is recorded, in which we can understand this is the end of the beginning. And it continues on. And yet, with each new believer, with each new day, we edge closer to the conclusion of all that Jesus will do and teach through the church. As we are looking at that final chapter, it does raise the question for us. Am I mentioned? am I mentioned in this progress report of the church? Three things I just want to point out to you here, see if maybe it'll help us understand a little bit more of what these progress reports are provided for us to do. Number one, Luke wrote to encourage the church in every age. First and foremost, Luke was giving the progress reports, and that the Son of God, that the Spirit of God, is superintending the activities of this body of Christ, this church, so that it would not only survive, but that it would thrive. And that it was not only true in the first century, but it will be so until its consummation, because it is the will of God. And we, as part of that church, part of that body of Christ, can take the encouragement. Nothing will stand against its progress. True believers are never quitters. May we persevere. May we be strong. May we be strengthened in the word. May we be examples so that we will be part of a positive progress report. Number two, open-ended and open doors. If we sincerely look for opportunities and experience God that has given us his resources, we will never lack for an open door. In Clear Lake, we have ample opportunities to seek to grow our faith and to seek to declare his truth, so that we may be part of that church that daily they added to the numbers, those that were being saved. Now, an open door is only significant if we willingly will share with anyone who will listen. For an open door is meaningless if we don't say what we know. Because you look back at the church, and why did the church thrive and have such positive progress reports? Because everywhere they went, they preached the good news of Jesus Christ. And in that, it's not saying that this is talking about the preachers. It's talking about everybody that is a believer. You know, so often that preaching word just kind of gets assigned to one person in the room. All of those in the early church were preaching, declaring the truth about Jesus. And that is why we see that the church thrived. They were willing to take the open doors wherever they went. Number three, the church will have a positive progress report. Already established, the church exists by the will of God. Because it exists by the will of God, it will accomplish that to which God has purposed. There is no doubt in anyone's mind that the church will accomplish everything God has willed it to accomplish. The question that remains is, what part will Clear Lake Christian Church have in that progress report? And I can assure you, it's up to us. We get to choose. We get to choose. Will we stand up to the opportunities before us, or will we not be mentioned because of failure to use the power and resources and promises we have been given? Certainly, we must advance in our growth in faith. We understand the qualitative nature that we grow. And as we do, it will make us more effective, more spurned to get out there and go through any open door that is presented to us. We are ordained by God to have an impact on those around us. We are to grow, to be strengthened through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit power, to make an impact in those around us. Let us seek with our whole heart a positive progress report. Father, we thank you that you have loved us with an everlasting love. And Lord, we can't hardly wrap our arms around the truth. You have involved us in your work. We are an integral part of that. You are such an incredibly efficient God. You know what we'll be willing to do and what we won't. You have already ordained that if one doesn't get it done, somebody else will. There is no plan B. It's just going to all work out, and you're going to get all your work done. Lord, may we be good employees of your kingdom that we want to do our part. In your name we pray. Amen. Any of you ever have a teacher that kind of did things a little bit different? That rather than every student having the same assignment, you got to choose your assignment? That if you wanted a passing grade, you had a minimum that you could do. If you wanted a C, you had to do a little more. If you wanted a B, you had to do quite a bit more. If you wanted an A, you had to do a whole lot more. What you decide as an individual, what we decide as a church, has very little to do with me. You will choose what grade you want on your spiritual progress report. Do you want to just get by? Do you want the minimum? Do you want to shoot for the A? That's what the Spirit of God is laying before us today. You decide. Let us stand. Father, we humbly come into your presence, thanking you for your salvation, thanking you for the love of Jesus Christ that has changed our life. Has it changed it enough to shoot for the A? Or will we be complacent and just try to slide by? That is yet to be determined. Lord, energize us by your Spirit, we pray.
Amen.